Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours. We have a lot to cover on today's show. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is with us as well. And over the next 3 hours, we'll catch up on what's going on in the Tennessee football world. We have some orange and white game details to get to. We'll update you on news throughout the state, a retirement in the NFL that we'll talk about. So there's so much to cover. We'll do that between now and 3 o'clock, Heather, with today's show set up here at Frazier's Carpet One. Spring is here. We've been talking about how excited we have been, and when spring arrives, you start thinking about sprucing up your home. Frazier's Carpet One can help with that, and for 70 years, the Frazier family has been helping create beautiful rooms and beautiful homes. They've helped the Ward House. We know friends and coworkers who have come to Frazier's, and I've never heard anything but just great experiences coming to Frazier's. And that was my experience as well. Frazier's will help you get set up, and they make it so easy. You can call Frazier's at 546-4850. Schedule a free in-home estimate. Let them come to you first. They'll make it easy for you at Frazier's Carpet One.
They are going to make it easy. And everybody's kind of heard horror stories about building right now and how materials are just going up and prices are skyrocketing. And then tons of delays on installation. But guess what? Frazier's has been in business for over 70 years, so they've been through the ups and downs, the booms and the busts before. They've thought ahead. Currently, they've got more carpet, luxury vinyl plank, and hardwood that's actually in stock that they have possession of than ever before and in their entire showroom history. So that buying power muscle has allowed them to keep price increases to a bare minimum. More in stock means that they can also get to your installation faster, so you don't have to worry about paying maybe 1.5 times the real price, and you don't have to be 6 months out of what you're wanting to do for your project. There's no money down and free financing options available for you at Frazier's Carpet One. So if you're thinking about new flooring, now is the time to call. Like Josh said, 546-4850.
We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Frazier's Carpet One. We'd love to see if you stop by here on Western Avenue, but calling them and having them come to you first is the easiest way to get it done. So 546-4850, call Frazier's. They'll take care of you. We're going to talk to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic coming up at 12:30. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports will stop by at 2:30 this afternoon. Will be interesting to get Jay's perspective as he was in Augusta last week covering the Masters. We'll see what he thought about this past weekend with Hideki Matsuyama winning and what to make of what's coming up next over the rest of the golf season. Ton to get to this afternoon, so why don't we dive right in as we look around the sports world. Heather, we're also continuing to monitor what's going on in the transfer market in college basketball. There was news yesterday that Walker Kessler is headed to Auburn. That's a player that Tennessee had been mentioned with as the Vols recruited him out of high school and would have loved to have gotten him away from North Carolina. This could affect what North Carolina tries to do on the recruiting trail, which could affect what Tennessee is trying to do as well. But Walker Kessler headed to Auburn. There's a big man that will make an impact. And the SEC has been very active here. There's been some interconference transfer action as Tennessee landed to Justin Powell from Auburn. Xavier Pinson yesterday announced he's headed to LSU, having played at Missouri. So a lot of activity and more to come, both in basketball and still some in football. There's a linebacker transferring from Texas that Tennessee is involved with. So that's just a daily and weekly conversation piece now in the college sports world.
Yeah, I think Josh Heupel went ahead and set a linebacker alert. There's a Google alert that goes off on his phone every time a linebacker enters the transfer portal. He's like, who? Where? Let me keep an eye on that. You're right. Eric Musselman has made some moves via the transfer portal. You've seen Tennessee very active in the transfer portal in basketball. Walker Kessler being 7-1 in, 250? I mean, this is a guy that everybody was going to be salivating over. Everybody was going to be trying to get. So it looks like if Bruce Pearl did, in fact, land him, that's going to be a huge pickup as this ACC player coming to the SEC.
A cool note and some bad news coming out of the NBA last night. Steph Curry, the all-time leading scorer in Warriors history last night, he did it in impressive fashion, 53 points in a win against the Nuggets. On the other side, though, Heather, really disappointing news to see the Nuggets, one of the top contenders in the West, lose one of their star players, Jamal Murray, going down with a torn ACL, and that's going to take the Nuggets realistically out of contention in that conference. And it happened late in a game where I think he was questionable to play in the first place. So you just hate to see that. Jamal Murray, one of the bright young talents in the league, going down with a torn ACL.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about the Nuggets along with the Suns and how there's a couple teams right there in the West just all sort of knotted up and maybe not one greatly better than the other. So very, very competitive, and you hate to see that with Jamal Murray. With that injury, do you think it will affect Nikola Jokic and what he's doing as he's trying to win the MVP?
It could. You mean like if they really struggle to win?
Yeah, yeah. That'd be my only thing, and that's purely selfish that I'm asking since I have the Nikola Jokic futures bet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the race to the MVP has been so strange this season,
yeah.
But I think Jokic still has a really good chance to win.
Okay.
But it's difficult to say, and this does not help, I would imagine.
Yeah, it doesn't help. And, I hate it for the Nuggets, too, because you're wanting to talk about somebody other than the Lakers, other than the Clippers. So, you know, that's why we were talking about the Jazz. You're talking about the Suns yesterday and their realistic, you know, possibilities of making it to the Western Conference Finals or whatever. And so you hate it. But this is a young nucleus, and they love these guys with Jokic and Murray and those dudes. So, Murray will come back, and he should be fine in the future. But short-term plans of deep run in the playoffs is probably on the shelf for this season.
Yep, I would say so. Julian Edelman retiring from the NFL. News came out yesterday afternoon that his contract had been terminated. We found out that he failed a physical. And we discussed, I think, last week about the fact that he was not expected to be able to play a full season because of his knee issues.
Yeah.
So Julian Edelman had a really good career, called it a career yesterday with the Patriots.
Yeah, is there any way he could take half of a season off and then get signed with the Bucks? Is that
Some will wonder.
We'll throw out there, hey, maybe you just need a little extra time to get right. Love the Tom Brady tribute to Julian Edelman, and he did a couple of swipe-through picks of their time together at the Patriots. Mr. Clutch in the playoffs. I know we're going to talk about Julian Edelman, the whole player, but, man, it didn't get better than Edelman in the playoffs whenever Tom Brady needed a first down. So just an absolute great career, a lot of championships to talk about, and I'll be anxious to see what he does next. He's kind of in the celebrity realm.
Seventh round pick who had a big impact on the Patriots' success, a quarterback out of Kent State, turned into a pretty good receiver and return man. Elsewhere, the Bucks did sign Gio Bernard yesterday. That's, I think, a perfect fit for what they might want to do with receiving back out of the backfield, as Fournette did some of that, but he's not a great receiver, and Ronald Jones, that was not a strength. They were two of the lower statistical running backs in some areas, including drops, I guess higher up in the statistics there. So a little more help. The Bucks needed it for sure in that offense.
So the biggest thing the Bucks will be fighting, and this is something that popped up. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs are full on in the driver's seat of the Super Bowl race until they started having the injuries mount. I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing for the Bucks, correct, is just navigating the injury bug and making sure it doesn't happen to key personnel at different times.
Yeah, I would say that, and then do you have the same kind of drive? Last year you had nobody's really won it. Brady had, but nobody had done it. Can you come back now that you're the hunted? That's part of the challenge. But in terms of how good they could be, they could be a better team than they were last year. And last year they were a really solid team in the regular season and the best in the postseason. So Gio Bernard, another back added to the Buccaneers offense. I saw this. I haven't seen much about it. So Heather, I don't have any details. I don't know if you do, but Alcoa Football tweeting out earlier today, I guess their Alcoa Sports Twitter account, 4th and Forever coming to HBO Max on May 20th. So that's coming up here in a little more than a month. So Alcoa Football getting some national attention. That'd be cool.
How about that? That is just really awesome. It's so neat to see that, you know, Alcoa is so respected around the country. You know, it doesn't get better than Gary Rankin and what he's been able to do with the Tornadoes. So shouts to them.
All-time
and I
great.
Hope, yeah, I hope this is going to be a fun watch. So I'll be looking for it. I do actually have an HBO Max account. I got it when we bought, like, I don't know, we bought something and got a year subscription. So it's not up yet, Josh.
There you go.
We can tune in. I'm pumped.
Very exciting. Very exciting. I'm not surprised to see this, but less people tuned in to watch the Masters this past weekend with some of the ratings coming out. Ratings for the weekend were the lowest since 1993. For the final round, the lowest and least watched ever. And I think there are a number of factors there. One, you didn't have star power at the top. It didn't look all that competitive on Sunday either.
Yeah.
And you combine that with the fact that, you know, ratings are down pretty much everywhere, and that's just how it is. So I know that with other sports, we like to come up with these conspiracies. I think it's just this is what it is. You know, if Tiger were going up against Jordan Spieth or John Rahm or Justin Thomas this past weekend, we're not having this conversation, but they weren't, so here we are with low ratings.
You're, I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. One, Tiger wasn't in this Masters field, so all of them are going to be down for a while until Jordan Spieth can get back to the number one ranked player in the world, right, in competitive in all these events, because he seems to be the needle driver. Like right now, he's the it guy that definitely moves the needle outside of Tiger. So you've got that. You also, like, I mean, just think about here in Knoxville. It was rainy on Saturday. I know a lot of people that were tuned in on Saturday because they couldn't get outside. And then Sunday, when it was so nice, people were kind of getting their stuff done outside just in our area, you know.
The main factor is that there's never been more competition for viewers than there is now. And in 5 years, there never will have been more competition for viewers. And on and on and on we go. So that's how it's always going to be. Doesn't mean sports aren't popular. They're extremely popular. But you can watch so many more sports at one time than you ever have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, never in my lifetime have we had the ability to watch European soccer basically on demand. Like, that just was not a thing until the 37th year of my life. So, yeah, it's just everything's new and different. And if you like it, you're going to watch it. And if you don't, you're going to find something else to watch.
And you know what? Whatever you decide to do, as long as it's not against the law or hurtful to someone else, that's perfectly fine. You do you, and I will as well. And we'll continue on. That's our look around the sports world as we begin today's show. Today at Frazier's Carpet One on Western Avenue, you can call them up, 546-4850, and schedule a free in-home estimate. We will talk more about what's going on, including orange and white game details. We'll get you those when we come back here on Sports 180, and then we will talk to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic coming up at 12:30. Here on Sports 180 today with Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic will join us coming up in 12 minutes at 12:30 as the show continues. At Frazier's Carpet One, we'll be here until 3 o'clock. They can come to you, schedule a free in-home estimate, take advantage of the savings, no money down, free financing for 18 months, right here with all of the flooring that's available. Call Frazier's, 546-4850. And, Heather, we are 11 days away from the orange and white game, which we knew would be taking place on April 24th. We have more details with that as the game will kick off at 4 o'clock. They're going to have free parking areas open at 10 a.m. that Saturday. Gates are going to open at 2:30. Face coverings will be required at entry and during movement throughout the stadium, and it will be free entry into the orange and white game coming up in 11 days. 4 o'clock kickoff. If you're looking to watch the game, it'll be available on SEC Network Plus. We will carry the game for you as well. Coming up 4 o'clock, April 24th, free admission at Neyland Stadium for the orange and white game.
Yeah, a couple of other things, too. The main bowl of Neyland Stadium will be all that general admission seating utilizing every other row, so just pay attention to that. You don't have to have a ticket to get in. Like Josh said, gates open at 2:30. You will have to wear your face coverings at required entry points and when you're moving around in the stadium, but I think at your seat you'll be fine to remove your mask. And Josh, in a little semblance of normalcy, oh my goodness, I see that sun peeking over the cloud. It's amazing. They're going to do Vol Village. Village in Lot 9. This is going to be so great. This is Tennessee's family-friendly pregame tailgate at Vol Village. They're going to have Sterl the Pearl out there jamming. They had it all set up last year. It was great. So a whole DJ booth and everybody rocking and rolling. They had the old-school VOLS that used to be on top of the Jumbotron. They had that out in the parking lot last year as you could, like, get your picture taken, you know, with your family in front of the letters. So that was really cool. So I expect they'll do, you know, they'll do Vol Village up really nicely. And that's going to have Pearl's going to be there, photo ops, smoky food vendors, giveaways, all kinds of activities. And I'm so excited, Josh, the Pride is going to be there. The Pride of the Southland all of their majesty is going to be performing for the orange and white game, and they'll be in attendance during the whole spring game. So this is exciting stuff.
I can hear the excitement in your voice.
Yeah. It's been 12 months. You know, I didn't even go to Neyland Stadium last fall, so, and I don't think you did either.
Neither did I. Yeah. First time in a long time.
I just feel like we really, you know, it just feels like something was missing. And we even have friends that because of our lives and our busy schedules and stuff, the most we see each other is during football season, tailgating and things like that. So we actually didn't even really interact with those friends just via text this year. So we haven't. So it's just going to be an opportunity, I think, for everybody. Hopefully it'll be great weather to get out, have a little fun, and just feel sort of normal again.
And see some football in the meantime.
Fingers crossed. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, you're going to see a football game. You're going to see the orange and white game. No, and I kid. I just keep telling myself at this point in time, there's still more players to come that will get here in the summer. Let's see what happens with the transfer portal. I was joking around with the Google alerts in segment one, but Josh Heupel is very aware of any linebacker that enters the portal, as you could probably sift by categories. But let's see what the roster looks like. And I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, I think, for next season.
What just happened, by the way, as we went through all the details of the orange and white game and you were so excited? I said that I could hear it. Everybody could hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
And then I brought up football.
Which it all revolves around.
And you went silent. You shut it down.
No, I think it's still just... It's so early. I was talking to a buddy yesterday who's excited. You know, he's always his diehard Tennessee fan, who he will be till the day he dies. But he's sitting there. Can we win five? I'm like, yeah, they can win five. Come on.
Can they win five games?
I'm like, come on, guys. So, I'm
Pitch the non-conference game and you get Ole Miss from the West and Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Plus three others that you should definitely win non-conference. I'm not saying Tennessee is going to beat all those teams, but can you get to five? Can you get to six? Surely you can.
Yeah. That's what I think, too. So,
And by the way, I'm also not saying it's going to be easy. I want to be clear on that. Kentucky, Missouri, we're going to talk about some of these rankings that are out. And Tennessee, depending on where you look, is comparable, maybe favorable in a couple of spots. But is that where the mood is right now?
That the
least exciting thing to talk about with Tennessee football is the football?
I think there's just still so much unknown. You know, and we go through this kind of all the time in the spring, especially with the quarterback battle. You don't know who's going to come out on top. There's question marks there. I think everybody's very scared of what this defense, how porous it might look. Because of the injuries at linebacker and just seemingly not enough warm bodies at this point in time to go through drills. So as the summer goes along, as the roster solidifies and you open up fall camp, everybody's going to get really excited. The excitement will rise. But this is a team that...
Well,
I thought so until
this segment here.
this era, very much so, more than anything. I mean, there was, looking back on it, it's so silly now, but there was more excitement for Derek Dooley than I think what there has been for Josh Heupel. And Josh Heupel's clearly got a better resume than what Derek Dooley had taking over. I just feel like it's all the bad breakups. It's all the broken
promises. It's the accumulation, no doubt.
Yeah. That have led to this just feeling of, man, I don't know if I want to get excited yet. But as it goes on, people will, because we love football.
But you get the tailgating. So Vol Village will be set up. The orange and white game, 4 o'clock, coming up in 11 days, April 24th. We will come back. We'll talk some Tennessee football, transfer markets, all of that with Joe Rexrode of The Athletic as we also get closer to the NFL draft coming up in a little more than 2 weeks. We'll come back with that right here on Sports 180 today at Frazier's Carpet One with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg has a midday sports minute for you on the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us with today's show at Frazier's Carpet One. No money down, free financing for 18 months, and a huge selection here for you. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, tile, and plank. Call Frazier's 546-4850 and schedule a free in-home estimate. As we are now pleased to welcome to the show Joe Rexrode from TheAthletic.com. He's on 102.5 The Game each morning in Nashville as well. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. Speaking of over there in the Mid-State, Eddie George introduced today as the head coach at Tennessee State. Mickey Allen running the athletic department there. What's been the reaction? What'd you think with Eddie George being introduced and talking about taking over the football program?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. With that whole story. And, Eddie George today had his intro presser. One interesting nugget is that, you know, Rod Reed, the now former coach of TSU, who was there for 11 years, was told, according to the president, 6 weeks ago that, you know, that they would be moving on from him. And Eddie George, I mean, like anybody who is familiar with Eddie George, as far as, you know, personality, aura, you know, presence on a stage, you're talking elite. And, I mean, he was absolutely, you know, he crushed his press conference. It's just going to be really fascinating because he had the same reaction I think a lot of people would have when the name might first be mentioned. You know, Eddie George coaching Tennessee State, you know, his first reaction was, huh? You know, I mean, basically like, what are you talking about? But he went through a few weeks of investigating and talking to a bunch of coaches and trying to figure out who could be his staff and getting assurances from TSU's administration that he would get the funding needed to be competitive. And man, it all came around to, it's going to be really interesting at TSU with Eddie George as head coach. He's never been in coaching, so I have no idea how he'll be as a coach. But as far as a motivator, a CEO, a leader, all that stuff, man, I think this was a home run for Tennessee State.
Joe, when you're looking at what the other side of the state, the Vols, have been doing 2 weeks into spring practice, what were some of your takeaways from the open practice that Tennessee had? And now that we're, again, 2.5 weeks in, where's the number one area of concern for you?
Well, first of all, Heather, let me just be honest. My takeaways from spring football, I like to be the takeaways of other people because I hate spring football. I did see some clips from Brian Maurer that intrigued me. And it's very interesting to kind of think about him maybe being the best looking quarterback so far out there. I guess I wouldn't have necessarily expected that, but you know, Brian Maurer, I don't think there's ever been any doubt that he has, you know, a lot of talent. You know, it's kind of about harnessing it, putting it together. But as far as, I mean, I feel like my general thought of this team is roughly the same. Like, I think the offense is going to be fun and interesting and possibly promising. And I have big concerns about the defense. You know, I feel like there's some good pieces to work with in the back end and up front. Really, really concerned / interested to see what will come down at linebacker.
Joe, Rex Rhodes is with us, theathletic.com. What reaction do you sense from fans when we talk about, okay, it's going to take time. There will be this part that's maybe exciting, but in terms of results, might be a long-term conversation again. Do you sense any kind of reaction yet to that idea or that suggestion?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, Josh. I mean, I think that there's some apathy. So one thing about apathy is I do think that maybe – someone like a Josh Heupel can probably have more time, you know, because I think there's not this, I think as time goes on and another change, and you feel farther and farther away from when you were really, you know, a team that could play with the best in the SEC, I do feel like the timeline maybe extends for each coach, and you can actually be pleasantly surprised, and it's a little bit less like, hey, we're in Atlanta in 2 years, right? I mean, that's the deal, you know? So I guess I feel like it's probably more acceptance of that. It's just, do you have fewer people who are as passionate about Tennessee football when you have this long of a stretch of futility? I mean, I would think that naturally you would. I would also say that, just to add right on to that, you know, you show some signs of life and people are ready to come back on. So it's actually not only it's like a terrible situation for Josh Heupel, you know.
I agree.
Following Jeremy Pruitt is not a tall order, you know. So you got to look at it that way.
Yeah, I think you're right. And piggybacking on the point that you just made, Joe, it's like, everybody might have put their stuff in the closet and maybe they're paying a little less attention now, but you get this thing rocking and rolling, people are going to show up and they're going to be 100% invested. They'll dust everything off and they'll pull the shirts right back out of the closet.
Yeah, no doubt. And plus, I mean, two other factors. One is people are ready to be in full stadiums probably, right? I would think, even though it still seems a little strange to me now to see, you know, to even think about that. But we're getting there, I think. So I think people will be ready for that. And also, I think people, just the idea of watching football that is fun to watch, even if, you know, maybe you're looking at a, like a 45-41 loss, those are better to watch than 17-13 losses.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's kind of like having a bad personality and not being attractive. It's kind of the worst combination. That's what Jeremy Pruitt was. It was like bad personality and bad football to watch.
That's a little rough, but I can't disagree with you either.
Joe Rex wrote the Athletic. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just saying, so what you're saying is Pruitt had a bad personality and was ugly. Is that what you're trying to say to me?
No. The football was ugly. Yeah. I don't want to. I'm not throwing stones at anybody's personal looks.
Well, Joe, we're in the final stretch here. What, 16 days to go until the NFL draft will kick off. What are we paying attention to here in the final stretch, and what do you need to ignore in this final stretch leading up to the start of the draft?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a lot. There's, like, so much misinformation. I mean, like, every couple of days, like with the Titans, there's a new, like, player that, that you know, looks like they're really interested in. It's like, I mean, first of all, agents throw stuff around, and sometimes teams throw out misinformation too, you know. So, like, some Titans fans are freaking out that they're apparently interested in Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle for Oklahoma State, because people don't want the Titans to take an offensive tackle in the first round, which I totally understand. But just because the Titans are vetting and scouting and interviewing a player, you know, it doesn't mean that they're any more likely to draft him with that 22nd pick than they are one of the corners or receivers they've been talking to, you know. So, I mean, it's to me, it's, you know, for the Titans, can they stick to their big board with this? And I think it's a good year for that, because they have really, to me, five positions of obvious need, and they have four picks in the top 100. So, you know, they have a chance to address them, but they should do it by best available, you know. And look, then maybe that does end up with Jenkins or you know, or an offensive tackle. Like, to me, it's more pressing that they get a corner early and even a receiver early, but I think you have to be true to whatever your big board is, and I think teams that succeed in this draft in this league typically do that. And I think John Robinson, his worst draft probably was 2017, and that was clearly drafting by need, which is where you reach for a Corey Davis at number 5, you know, and that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to reach just because you have a need at that position. So I think if the Titans end up trading out of 22 and get maybe a fifth pick in the top 100, that might be their best path to success.
Joe, what is going on there at theathletic.com, either right now or coming up?
Well, Vanderbilt, so TSU had its presser today. Vanderbilt will introduce Shea Ralph, UConn assistant, really probably been the top assistant in women's basketball the last few years. So that's a pretty big get for Vanderbilt. But for me, my next assignment will be in Knoxville, because I'm pumped to see some Tennessee.
You're coming to the series.
Baseball. Absolutely.
So, all right.
So I'm excited about it. That should be awesome. I've never been to a game there, and this is huge, huge series.
Yeah, what do Vanderbilt fans think about how Tennessee's been better recently and how big of a series this is? What's the reaction there for Vandy fans who have been following really good baseball for, you know, quite some time under Tim Corbin?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I don't have a great feel for that, Josh, but I'll tell you what. This is one of those things, like, this has sort of been Vanderbilt's domain, you know? Like, this is we're elite in this. So we have this. We feel good about it. And it'll be interesting if Tony Vitello, if he's sustaining something, and this is going to be a big, you know, top 10 type matchup every time, and they're both going to be competing to get to Omaha and stuff like that. I mean, I know that's heady stuff for UT, but I think this team could be good enough for that. So does that turn this into a little bit of a chippy rivalry? You know, I mean, I feel like obviously football has been competitive between these schools the last decade, but you know, there's still a big gap in terms of like ceiling, you know, and investment, all that stuff. But baseball, you know, Vanderbilt has some of the best facilities, and I think this could be one of those great rivalries that also is a national point of interest. So I wonder if some Vanderbilt fans might get a little bit, be bristling a little bit at the idea of, you know, Tennessee getting into their territory.
Yeah, I would bet on it. Could be very interesting. So check out Joe's work there. Safe travels over to Knoxville later this week, Joe. Joe Rexroad, theathletic.com is where you can read his work. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks, and look forward to talking to you next week about whatever will have happened in a few days.
All right, great. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Rexroad right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We're going to come back with the face-off, five tough questions from Joel Silverberg, and tell you again about what's going on right here at Frazier's Carpet One. Interested to hear some of the answers from Kevin Frazier when he sits down with us during the face-off as well. That's next right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. That sound you hear right there means it's time to say hello to Kevin Frazier from Frazier's Carpet One, where we are today. Everybody knows that's Kevin Frazier's music. Hello, Kevin.
Everybody. I got an email from Robert Plant.
That's right.
Saying, you owe me money. No.
Yeah, we better be careful there, right? Yeah, good to be in the same company, though, as always. And this is a good time of year. Everybody looks forward to spring, I think, this year especially. And then when you get to spring, you start looking to some changes that you might make at your home, right?
You know, Eddie, it is the number one home improvement time of the year, and this year is no different. We can tell that all of Knox County and the greater area are looking for home improvement, and nothing makes a room or a house pop like new floor covering does. We can help you out.
And you guys kind of did your due diligence this past year of buying up materials, getting everything in stock so that, one, there's not long times. If people want to have a consultation now, they can get it installed pretty quickly. And two, your prices really haven't gone up at all.
Yep, absolutely. We've, as boring as it sounds, because savings and selection sounds way more exciting, and we've got savings and selection, but we have gotten it through just a lot of kind of projecting and grinding it out, and because we know that that's what people want. They want dependable selection. They want dependable savings. They want to know that a company that's been around for 70 years is going to make it easy for you in terms of not having to wait 4 or 5 months for product to come in and another month and a half for installation. And so we have stayed really on top of our in-stock selection. We have more carpet, luxury vinyl tile and plank, hardwood in stock right now than we ever have before.
Yeah, I don't know if easy is in the exciting category, but it's at least comforting, right, to know that you're going to take on this project, whatever you might be thinking about,
right.
But it's easy. You call Frazier's, you come to them, and then you get the process going, in-home shopping. You really do everything you can to make it as easy as possible for the customer, whether you're doing it for the first time or a repeat, whatever.
We do. And, you know, I'm sitting here right now looking at my team.
Yeah.
And I've got a team of great professionals. And so many folks have been with us for so long. We want to make it easy. We want to make it easy.
Nothing better than new flooring on the toes in the morning, too, right? You get the new carpet.
Yeah.
You can feel in the morning. It's a new start to your day.
Absolutely. Today is going to be different and better.
That's right. So, and Frazier's can do that for you. So call up Frazier's, 546-4850. Let Frazier's make it easy for you. You schedule a free in-home estimate. They'll come to you, and you can take advantage of all the flooring options, and they can tell you what you need to know. Maybe you have a good idea. Maybe you don't. Either way, they'll take care of you. 546-4850 for Frazier's Carpet One. 70 years, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
That is wild.
Yes.
I remember we were at 60 and thinking, this is getting out of control. Here we are 10 years later, more options and more advancements than ever.
Time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
Just making up the posters that said first 50 years, then 55, 60, and it's like, it's time to make a 70.
There you go. So celebrate with them. Call up Frazier's, 546-4850. Kevin, you ready to hit today's faceoff?
Yes.
All righty, Joel, what do you have for us?
Which game on Tennessee's 2021 football schedule would you call a must win?
All right, that's a vaguely confusing question. I assume that we're gonna count Tennessee Tech as, you know, obviously that's got to be a must win.
Yeah,
but I assume
like
we're talking about
Tennessee
Marquee.
Tech and South Alabama are better not lose games.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with the Kentucky Vanderbilt combo. Like
okay.
That feels for the team to get started off well. We got to win those two games.
Yeah, Heather, I wonder if Vanderbilt's going to be yours. Heather's not too keen on losing to Vanderbilt. I'm going to throw a little bit of a wild card in here, in Missouri. Part of it is depending on early results. I really think they need to win that one if they happen to fall to Pitt. But you have Florida, then Missouri, South Carolina. If you can beat Missouri, then you can maybe put something together, beat South Carolina the next week, maybe momentum for the Ole Miss game.
Yeah. I feel exactly like Kevin. I actually put at Kentucky and Vanderbilt at home as a combo. So I hate to put those expectations on Josh Heupel, but there's two must-win games. One, you got to go back all the way to 76-77, the last time Tennessee lost back-to-back games to Kentucky. Don't want to see that happen this season. And then I think just to start your tenure off right, you got to beat Vanderbilt. So it's the combo for me.
Here's a question from our friends over at The Zone in Nashville. What's your favorite debut album of all time?
I guess because I'm a guest, I constantly get to break the rules, but I got two. Okay. My Aim is True by Elvis Costello and Introducing the Hardline by Terrence Trent D'Arby.
All right, I like it.
There you go.
Yeah, and by the way, this is favorite, so you can choose what you want to. I'm going to throw two out as well since the guest did. I'm going to say 10 by Pearl Jam, which I think is liked by many, and yep. Then Reasonable Doubt by Jay-Z, which I think has been forgotten. As Hove himself said, classic, should have went triple.
Yeah, I would say one of my favorites for sure is Get Rich or Die Tryin' with 50 Cent. You already had kind of seen him on the radar with Eminem and Dre, so you knew who he was, but Get Rich or Die Tryin', absolutely unbelievable album. But my all-time favorite, so many bangers. Y'all feel free to judge away if you want to. It was 1993. It's Brooks and Dunn. It's Brand New Man. I'm telling you, and my dad played that CD.
The Texas is coming out. There's
Holy
Heather.
Holy smokes. Hey, and the Zone in Nashville asked about it, so I feel like that it's a perfect answer.
Yeah,
Brooks
absolutely.
And Dunn. Game changers.
See, at first when you said bangers, I thought, oh, she's going to say Kesha.
I thought we were going to get Hanson. I didn't know where we were going. I was very excited to find out.
Yeah, Kesha is banger.
One.
Is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. His numbers require intangibles to me, like, say, Jerry Kramer-esque intangibles. Does he wind up being a great spokesman for the game? I don't think so.
I agree with you. He should be remembered as a clutch player, his postseason success, being a part of the Patriots run. But I don't think Hall of Fame is his reward. I think the money and the rings are his reward.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this one. I'm sort of on the fence because what he did in the regular season does not warrant getting into the Hall of Fame. But when you're talking about going up against the best of the best in the NFL, he's only like second to Jerry Rice in catches and yards and things like that. So you're like, okay, it's the postseason when everything matters, and he was one of the brightest stars. I'm kind of leaning towards putting him in.
I do have to say, as a Steelers fan who's got a lot of Steelers in the Hall of Fame just on what they did in the Super Bowl, I completely am tracking with and have some guilt about not saying what Heather said. Just saying.
Who should be cast to play Drew Brees in the upcoming Netflix Bounty Gate movie?
All right, Joseph Mazzello. The guy from The Pacific and from Bohemian Rhapsody.
There you go.
That's my guy.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with, I've got two. Zac Efron might be a little too young, but I think that is a good look. I think they could make him look a lot like Drew Brees. But also, if you need a little older, how about Ryan Phillippe? Remember, I think they could straighten the hair out enough that he would be a good Drew Brees. So Ryan Phillippe is my answer.
I like it. There's a lot of internet speculation that it'll just be Adam Sandler. You're going to have Adam Sandler and Kevin James again together, and Sandler's played a quarterback before. He's on all the sports movies. I love your suggestions. I don't have a better one. So how about this? He has time on his hands. He's comfortable in front of a camera. Drew Brees.
There you go.
Have him play himself.
Play himself. I like that.
But I want Heather casting for me, too, by the way. Yeah, Zac Efron's a good look. He'd be a good look for me, too. I'm just saying.
Today is National Scrabble Day. What is your top board game?
All right. It brings back fantastic memories with my daughter. Guess Who is way up there. Love me some Guess Who because of endless hours with my daughters. But I'm going to go with Taboo.
There you go. I like Taboo. That. And people have different opinions of what counts as a board game. So you can go off the board a little bit. See what I did there.
Genius.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with the family fun of Monopoly. It you have some gamesmanship. It gets competitive. I'll go Monopoly.
Yeah, Monopoly, absolutely the goat of all board games. And you're learning. It's educational. You're learning about real estate. You're learning about paying your taxes. You're learning maybe how to get out of jail every once in a while and counting money. So it's educational. There you go.
Oh, and you are so true. As an entrepreneur, let me just say, you are so correct about all of it.
I'll be talking to Owen and Max very, very closely about that get out of the jail part.
So just ask my dad.
All right. Kevin gets the win.
Bam. Honorary guest win. I'll take it. I'll take your charity. Thank you very much, Joel.
There you go.
Oh, is that a little Elvis Costello? I think it is.
Indeed it is.
So did I win on the Elvis Costello answer? Even if I didn't, tell me I did.
I took a listen to it. I was like, I remember this now. So, yeah, I'll give it to you off the Costello pick.
So, Allison, Mystery Dance, I mean, to quote my good friend Heather, multiple bangers.
That's what everybody's thinking right now. So, we cover different genres. We cover different time frames. So I like the musical selection on today's show.
Yeah, big fun. Big fun. As is the selection and the savings that we've got here with our big in-stock spring sale that's going on. So give us a call at 546-4850.
It's as simple as that.
Do you like that segue? Do you see that segue?
Yes.
I was just trying to make you proud, Josh. I wasn't even really trying to sell floor covering. I was just trying to make you proud.
Kevin Frazier's taking over the next hour right here on Sports 180. How about that?
All right.
You guys are a good combo. I like it.
One other note, speaking of the Steelers, comparison I saw yesterday, and it comes back to that organization, which did have the postseason success as well, is if you look at the numbers for Hines Ward, who's not been able to get in, Cousin Hines, he dominates Julian in catches, yards, touchdowns. This is career regular season, of course. They both actually have a Super Bowl MVP, and Hines went to four Pro Bowls. Julian didn't. So let's make a Hines Ward case to get him in there.
I mean, and Hines will get in. Hines is suffering from the Rodney Harrison syndrome, which is just he was a little aggressive, which is saying something for football. But just like Rodney got in, Hines will get in too.
Yeah. Isn't football so far behind too? It's just a little bit harder. Like, he's eventually going to be in, but it's just going to take some time, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. At some point in time, everybody will be Jerry Kramer's age before they get in.
Yeah, I think a few years down the road, they're going to look back and say, you know what, in hindsight, we should have put him in.
Yeah.
I got it.
Genius.
Hindsight.
Yep, and that ends hour number one. Kevin Frazier, we appreciate you as always.
Thanks, guys.
Right here at Frazier's Carpet One on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.